97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good Monday morning to you. It is September 9th, although if you ask me when you're heading out the door this morning, it feels like at least early October. I mean, you're going to need a light jacket today. I think it's in the 50s right now.
When 40s. I left, it was 50.
40s. Oh, my gosh.
45.
No, it's not. When I left my house, it was 55.
It's 45 right now.
When you're used to 70s, 80s, even 90s, 45 degrees feels freezing. I'm going to go with Scott on this. That's Scott Jagow in for me. I'm Kim St. Ange filling in for Mark. He spent some time at his aunt's, right? 100th birthday. Lily had her birthday yesterday. And so he took his mom to Ohio to celebrate that. So he'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow, obviously, a huge day. We have the debate officially tomorrow. I have a feeling this might be the only presidential debate that we see between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump.
Probably. I would agree with that.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me, too, because this is the first time that they've actually met face to face. I don't know why in my head I thought for sure they would have come across one another at some point. But she had said in that recent CNN interview, oh, no, we've never met. And it's going to be interesting with these rules for the debate. I was so glad to see that they stuck with the whole muted mics rule, because I think that's going to be personally to Trump's advantage. I think sometimes he can just run right over, and that's just not going to be a good look if he does that. He has to be very composed and restrained, I guess, is the word that comes to mind.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. He does tend to sometimes go on these tangents and things like that. So it probably does, even though I believe the idea behind this was probably, yeah, to stop him from overrunning the debate. It actually is probably a benefit to him.
I think so, too. And the big thing here is going to be, okay, after this debate tomorrow night, what are we going to see in the polls? Because I saw over the weekend there was a New York Times Siena poll has Trump up by 1 point over Kamala Harris, 48-47. But when you add in the third party candidates, it bumps Trump up another point. So 47-45. Will he be able to keep that? Will he be able to create even more distance, or could it flip flop? I don't know. This is going to be very interesting seeing Kamala Harris not allowed to have any notes, not allowed to have a teleprompter, have to think on her feet. In fact, over the weekend, the Meet the Press, Bernie Sanders on yesterday, and as Mark Cox likes to say, he said the quiet part out loud. He basically said Kamala Harris is saying anything to get elected. Kristen Welker's like, well, you know, she felt this way about fracking and then she's changed her mind in this way. And then now she feels this way. Is she flip flopping on her policies? They're like, no. She's not flip flopping on her policies. All she's doing is saying what she needs to do to get elected. Oh, OK. So that's your reasoning for your policies that you're rolling out is just whatever needs to be said and done to make sure that you get elected. That is very concerning, but I'm not surprised in the least bit. All right. We have a big show for you this morning. Truly, this is a packed show. So we, of course, have Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation coming up at 6:20 this morning. So there are apparently some battleground states that are refusing to take RFK Jr. off the ballot, even though he's already dropped out and requested to be taken off the ballot in those particular states. I want to ask him about that. We also have Matt Rosen coming up at 7:35. This is going to be an interview about, you know, we've all had the good bosses and the bad bosses, but what about an AI boss? Would you like basically a robo boss? Would that be better? You don't have to deal with some of the nonsense that maybe you get irritated with every single week. I don't know. And then 808, that's going to be the big interview. Steve Rupp, President, Missouri Right to Life. Guys, there was a huge decision over the weekend, Cole County Judge, as it relates to Amendment 3. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. But right now, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
They've had 3 years to assess what happened. Why are they delivering a report after Labor Day in a presidential election year?
You probably recognize that voice. That, of course, is Pete Buttigieg talking over the weekend after the House Foreign Affairs Committee released a 350-page scathing report about the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. And, of course, he's trying to defend Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
If you do that with a cover-up of the President of the United States, it's grounds for impeachment immediately and removal from office, because that's what they did.
Yeah, that was Trump campaigning in Wisconsin over the weekend, talking about how Kamala Harris time and again keeps saying, I stand by Joe Biden. He's completely fit to run the country. A couple weeks ago on CNN saying the same thing, yet turns out Joe Biden has spent over 40% of his presidency on vacation. Okay, I don't speak Portuguese. Maybe you guys do, so you can understand what they're saying.
Obrigado.
Okay.
Well, that means thank you.
Oh, what, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was going to say, I don't know what they're saying, although thanks to Carl Middleman, apparently that's what they're saying. But
no,
I can tell you they're angry because Brazil just banned X, and the people, thousands and thousands of people flooded the streets of Brazil over the weekend, angry that they're trying to control and restrict free speech.
The lawsuit heard here at the Cole County Court argues that the question put before Missouri voters on restoring abortion access is deceiving.
There it is. That huge decision that I talked about a little bit ago over the weekend. This is a Cole County judge who ruled that the way that the pro-abortion people went about gathering signatures essentially was invalid. And it sounds like Amendment 3, that abortion amendment on the November ballot for all of Missouri, could be axed at this point. This was huge. I'll admit, I didn't even know about this until Steve Rupp, the president of Missouri Right to Life, reached out to me Friday night and said, did you see this? A huge win. Had you heard about what was going on there?
Yeah, because I work on the weekends.
Yeah, so there you go. Okay, so this would have been, yeah, Friday afternoon into evening is when this all started breaking.
Yeah, tomorrow at 5 p.m. is the deadline. Otherwise, the ballot is the way it is. So Amendment 3, as you mentioned, is there. It could
Does
be removed.
Does that include the rewording?
Yeah, I mean, it would not be on at all. So let me kind of walk, because it's kind of confusing a little bit. Okay, so they collected, I mean, far more signatures than they needed. It was like, what, 380,000 signatures or something
that's
like that?
The number.
Well beyond the number they needed. Okay, so the number of signatures isn't what is being questioned right now, because keep in mind, Jay Ashcroft, the Secretary of State, already certified the signatures. What happened was a group filed a lawsuit a couple weeks ago that included some local lawmakers, Missouri state lawmakers, and they basically said two things. They said, number one, the wording on the initiative petition was too vague. It talks about reproductive freedom, reproductive health care. They're worried that that could include gender transition surgeries. It could even include cloning, is what they said, and that you... If you're asking the public, hey, do you want to support Amendment 3 on abortion, that they would also have to then be in agreement with everything else because it was all encompassing, too vague. The other part that they said that was not done the way that it was supposed to be done was that if you're putting up something like this for the people to vote on to see if they'd like it on the ballot, they also have to be very clear about what current laws would be essentially moot, like what laws it would be overturning, essentially. And that was not done.
Right. So that's why there's the potential. And the judge was pretty harsh about the wording issue. And then Amendment 3 is the one with sports gambling. Opponents tried to get that one off by saying these signatures are invalid. And the judge said, nah, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So that's what we have.
Because I know you're big on sports betting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd like to see it in Missouri.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with sports betting. That's not something I typically do. I do have a problem with Amendment 3 as it relates to abortion. And I cannot tell you how thrilled I was to see that. I know they have until the pro-choicers, whatever you want to call them, pro-abortion folks, they have until tomorrow. Like you said, Scott, the deadline's 5 p.m. tomorrow to appeal. We know they will. But if this judge rules that Amendment 3 is not on the ballot, my understanding is there's nothing they can do at that point. It will not be on the ballot. There's no next step. But I'm going to ask Steve Rupp that question. Like I said, we're going to have him on the show at 8:08. What's now? Where do they go from here? Because we know that Missouri Right to Life has been tirelessly working to do this very thing. So there's a lot of questions we have for him. We're going to get to a break, but Carl, of course, we have our national anthem. Who's bringing it to us this morning?
Kim and I play a game every day, and Scott plays it when we're in here. We play, it's called Hurdle, where we try to guess the songs, and people are always amazed how many hurdles there are. There's a new hurdle starting today. Okay, and Hurdle, by the way, is a game where you get like 10 seconds or 2 seconds of a song and you try to guess it.
And Carl's a wizard at it.
You're pretty good as well.
Only really the 90s.
Yes. And Scott's good at it as well. But there's 80s. A new hurdle today, which our friend AB is going to love. It's Glee Hurdle.
Oh, God.
Which is,
oh, boy.
Which is...
I
songs
don't even like
ruined.
Glee.
Songs ruined by and
okay,
these,
I can get on board with that.
These 20 somethings are like, oh, I know that Madonna song. It's I heard it on Glee. That's very upsetting. But
it is.
For our national anthem today, one of the stars of Glee, Amber Riley.
So there was some new information that has come out about the Appalachian school shooting not too far from Atlanta. And it's kind of chilling. Basically, what came out was that the mom of the suspected shooter, Colt Gray, called the high school like 30 minutes before shots rang out and warned them of a, quote, extreme emergency. She told them there was an extreme emergency and for them to go immediately to find her son and check on him. So it sounds like what happened was that's exactly what the school did. The staff member went to his math class trying to locate him. There was some sort of confusion about Colt Gray and some other kid with a similar name. Neither of them were in the classroom at the time. So that staff member took the backpack of the other student because, again, there was confusion about which person they were even talking about. And then minutes later, the shots rang out. It's also come out, according to the dad, the suspected shooter's dad, that he was repeatedly bullied, like on a daily basis for being gay. That he had homicidal and suicidal thoughts in the days leading up to the shooting. That's according to his aunt. I mean, these are things that you kind of expect to hear when you're learning more and more about a gunman who opened fire in a school. A loner, bullied, things like that.
Yeah, it's really this story is just awful. The text message, according to the Washington Post, that he sent to his mother was, "I'm so sorry and cannot fathom the pain and suffering they are going through right now." And I believe that the grandmother also maybe had called the school a couple of days before.
Yeah, she set up a counselor, the therapist in the school. She had set up just like a week or two prior to the shooting, set up an appointment for him to start meeting with that therapist. I assume that never happened.
And after this text message was sent, the mother and her mother got in a car and drove 200 miles to Winder because they were panicked. And obviously, the shooting occurred before they could get there.
Yeah.
They were 200 miles away.
And what's chilling about this, too, is, you know, we've talked about how the FBI was investigating this 14-year-old, at the time 13-year-old, because of some sort of a threat he'd made just to shoot up his middle school a year ago. And I don't know if I knew this until reading this particular article, talking about how this was on a Discord account. I had not heard of Discord. It's like what? Gaming? Like social media gaming?
No, it's a chat feature. It's how people, it's like a chat room.
Okay. That's something I'm just not involved in. It kind of rings a bell.
Text messaging for kids.
Okay. See, I can't keep up with
WhatsApp.
All the stuff. So he had a username that was written in Russian and the translation of the letters spelled out the name Lanza, referencing Adam Lanza, who of course was the alleged shooter in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. And he was supposedly obsessed with other infamous school shooters. I mean, it's just really, really sad. And, you know, the FBI, they were investigating, but Colt Gray denied that he had written any sort of a threat on that Discord account. It was like, no, I would never threaten something like that. So essentially they said our hands were tied and they had to drop it. Nothing they said could be done at the time.
Yeah, this is a theme that through these school shootings, our hands are tied. We couldn't do anything at the time. I hear that over and over and over and over again, and I'm getting tired of it. And the people just need to be more aware. It's easy for me to say that, but we do have to figure something out because right. this cannot keep happening.
Well, the fact that the dad knew his son was struggling with mental illness, right. this kid has homicidal and suicidal thoughts, a year ago had threatened to shoot up his middle school. Why the heck would you give your 14-year-old son access to a gun? And that is why the dad, in my opinion, 100% should be charged.
Yes.
You have to have tighter, stricter consequences for these parents, anybody who would be over a child like this, taking care of this child, or this is just going to keep happening.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think he will spend the rest of his life in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, the charges are many and serious.
You're talking about the dad.
Yeah, the dad.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
The dad.
Yeah, no, I don't think the kid will end up spending the whole life in prison, but
a lot of it.
Mental issues to be dealt with.
But. This mental illness crisis in our country, the world really is just, it is awful. This kid should have gotten help much, much sooner. All right, coming up after the break, it is Scott on the Spot. I'm Kim St. Ange filling in for Mark Cox.
Not Kim on a whim, but Scott on the Spot.
Scott on the Spot is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Visit MissouriBrushControl.com.
All right. I love that intro. Well, remember, Kim, a few weeks ago, I can't keep track of time, maybe it was months ago, I talked about doing an open mic.
Yes.
And so now I have done two of them. And I'm getting
same.
More comfortable.
What? Same venue?
Same venue. I'm getting more comfortable.
Are you singing for us this morning?
I am not going to sing live, but I do have some tape.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But the reason I'm playing this is, one, I have to get a Carl story in here in a minute. Okay? So that there's that.
I don't know.
Are we roasting Carl?
No.
I brought notes. All right, number one.
I mean, yeah, right.
I just have them on hand always.
As you should. I spent a whole month preparing for this open mic night and trying to get a set that I thought people would enjoy. They would know the songs, and they would be unexpected. So I sang my first song. That was kind of a practice song. It was probably a song that most people
John
don't
Hyatt.
Know. No, that was the previous one.
Okay.
Did you do a song from Glee?
No.
Maybe.
I did a song by Charlie Robinson. You know him?
The actor?
No, the late singer. He passed away last year. It was called New Year's Day. But I knew nobody would know that song. So I said, okay, I'm going to play this one, I get warmed up. And then I said, and now it's time for Taylor Swift.
Really?
Wow. I remember when we broke up. First time saying this is it, we've had enough. Just like we hadn't seen each other.
You can hear everybody laughing in the background.
Where's the ooh? Ooh,
I know. I was waiting for that part. I'm going to crank that back
you
up.
You guys sing it.
Carl, go.
Everybody else, but the people in the crowd started doing that.
Oh, I bet they loved
did.
It.
No, but you could hear people giggling and laughing because
they knew
they
song.
Thought I was not serious.
Well, I was going to say, of all the songs for you to pick, I would never peg you as someone who would pick a Taylor Swift song.
I know.
Which is why it was probably perfect.
That's right.
That's awesome.
So that got it started, you know, so people were in a good mood. And then I told the story of Carl and Country Roads.
Ugh. Country roads,
so
take me home.
Country roads.
And that's clip number two.
Place.
The whole bar was
West
singing.
Virginia. I'm having a hard time staying quiet. Like, I want to sing along,
yeah.
And I know I'm probably
ruining
the song.
It was so much fun. I've never had a whole bar singing along to a song that I'm singing and playing, so it was really fun. And
The power.
Imagine how these artists feel when it's an original song they wrote and they go to a sold out venue and everybody knows the lyrics to their own song.
Right.
It was probably a taste of that where obviously it's a well-known song, but it's still fun when you're singing and everyone's singing along.
Yeah, and so Carl, do you want to tell that story?
So the Blues were, it was 2019, the Blues were not good. And then they were in the middle of a winning streak, and we were trying to get as many people to come to the games as possible. And this was January of 2019, which people might remember was when we won the Stanley Cup. But
I covered that for KMOV.
If you remember, in January, they were the worst team in the league. And then we went on this big winning streak. And to get people, we were playing Nashville. It was going to be Country Music Night. And so we were playing nothing but country
music. Your nightmare. That I asked Carl what music he likes. He says, I like every single thing except country. All right.
I like pop music, so.
All right, sorry, continue.
Country pop is fine. And so during one of the TV timeouts, I had the choice of either playing Thank God I'm a Country Boy or Country Roads. And I mistakenly chose Country Roads.
No, why would that be a mistake?
Because we're not in West Virginia.
Who cares? It's a good song.
And it's a hockey game.
But everyone knows the lyrics.
True. But I think Thank God I'm a Country Boy would have actually, in hindsight, would have worked better and it would have been clapping and everybody, and it would have worked just the same. But instead, I played Country Roads and the entire crowd sang and my boss called me up and said, play that again.
And again.
Which we normally don't.
And then on the 15th time, everyone got sick of it.
Normally I don't play a song twice in a game,
except Gloria, probably.
No, we only played that at the end of the game.
Gloria. Remember how often that would be playing on the radio?
Yes.
I mean, it was nonstop. And but it never really got old.
When people said play Gloria, they were talking to me because I was the one playing Gloria.
You feel good about that?
Yes.
You feel powerful that you have the ability to be the one to hit the buzzer?
It is more stressful than you can imagine.
Oh, I bet.
But then we started playing Country Roads every game, and I know the season is starting on the 15th of October, and people ask, are we going to play it again? TBD.
I thought that
TBD.
Song was retired.
TBD.
There might be a revolt.
We retired it last year with a hilarious Louis skit where Louis smashed James Bertel's guitar and said no more. And then we'll see what happens.
I didn't know this part of the story, but when I told this story at the venue, everybody loved it because they didn't know. They didn't know the origin of Country Roads being played every game at the Blues. And the reason I wanted to do this morning was so I could hear Carl tell that story.
So wait, you do play it every single Blues game?
We used to play it in the third period, and then last year we played it in the second period. People thought that we were playing it in the third period because people were getting ready to leave. No, mm-hmm. It was because we wanted to have people sing in the third period. And then last year we wanted people to sing in the second period. And people were mad that we moved it from the third to the second.
Why do people care that much?
Hockey is the most superstitious sport of all of them.
Really? Why is that?
Canadian farm boys skating.
Do you agree with that?
I would probably say that's true. I mean, baseball's got a lot of superstitions too,
but hockey is... They
right
play half as many, yeah.
Yeah.
What year was it for the World? I think it was we were in the World Series for baseball, and we had that rally squirrel, and it was like I needed
11.
To see. Okay, it was 11 and 11. I thought it was the one before. I think it was
06.
Yeah, I think it was earlier because I remember my parents buying me a rally squirrel T-shirt. And it was like every game I needed to see either. And I'm not one of those people where it's like, oh, this has to happen. But it was like I needed to see the rally squirrel run across that field. You remember that?
No, I wasn't here, but I vaguely do remember seeing it on TV somewhere.
I hate squirrels. Well, let me say this. I strongly, strongly dislike squirrels. They're rats with like a cuter outfit on.
It was 2011.
Oh, it was 11. Okay.
Squirrels eat up our backyard furniture, all our nice new patio furniture we got. Chew right through that. And you'll hear like a... When we're sitting in our house, and then
they're getting into your house.
Carl Middleman, I know. I bang on the window, and that stupid little squirrel just takes off running. I mean, we've had our little BB gun, like, ready to go. Problem is, we've got the backyard with all the houses behind us, so we've got to be careful, clearly. But I'm just going to set up traps all over our backyard. Those things wreak havoc. They're not cute. I used to think they were cute. They're a nightmare. And we had a duplex in the city. They were chewing through everything in the city. I actually have a really bad story about a squirrel that fell off the roof and we accidentally killed it. And it was, I don't even know if I should say it on the air. Makes us look pretty bad.
Then save it.
I'll leave it at that.
What I enjoy about this segment is I just give a little prompt, have a little sound there, and it ends up, we started with playing an open mic, and we ended up with squirrels eating patio furniture.
That's usually how things go. Yeah.
Do you want to plug the bar at Watson and Chippewa?
It's Gravois.
Gravois.
It's the drawing board.
Watson.
I believe they do one every Sunday, but this group that I'm friends with, it's the first Sunday of every month. It's a cool little bar. They got good food, too.
Nice.
And there's a cat that lives there.
Is there?
Rally cat?
No, this cat just... I love it when the cat just sits on the pool table while people are playing, because it's the cat's place.
I don't love cats.
The cat lives there.
The cat... I didn't see the cat. We did play pool, but we didn't see the cat.
See, usually the conversations when Mark's here, they morph into whatever topic... Thank you, food. Like, we could be talking about... I don't even know. You name a topic, and somehow we connect the dots, and we start talking about how we're hungry and we'd like food. I don't know what it is, but that is usually the way the conversation goes. So at least we talked about something different than food. We went to squirrels and how terrible they are. If you catch a squirrel, by the way, and you release it even remotely close to where you found it, they will find their way back. You have to drive it very far away to release it.
Montana.
So that little sucker doesn't come crawling back to your house and wreak havoc again. Just a little tip right there. Or maybe it would just die on its own, and that might be the better option. I'm just saying.
Not Kim on a whim, but Scott on the spot.
Scott on the spot is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Visit MissouriBrushControl.com.
All right. I love that intro. Well, remember, Kim, a few weeks ago, I can't keep track of time. Maybe it was months ago. I talked about doing an open mic.
Yes.
And so now I have done two of them. And I'm getting more comfortable.
Same venue?
Same venue. I'm getting more comfortable.
Are you singing for us this morning?
I am not going to sing live, but I do have some tape.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But the reason I'm playing this is, one, I have to get a Carl story in here in a minute. Okay, so that there's that.
I don't know.
Are we roasting Carl?
No.
I brought notes. All right, number one.
I mean, yeah, right.
I just have them on hand always.
So I spent a whole month preparing for this open mic night and trying to get a set that I thought people would enjoy. They would know the songs, and they would be unexpected. So I sang my first song. That was kind of a practice song. It was probably a song that most people
John
don't
Hyatt.
Know. No, that was the previous one.
Okay.
Did you do a song from Glee?
No.
Maybe.
I did a song by Charlie Robinson. You know him?
The actor?
No. The late singer. He passed away last year. It was called New Year's Day. But I knew nobody would know that song. So I said, okay, I'm going to play this one. I'll get warmed up. And then I said, and now it's time for Taylor Swift.
Really? Wow.
You can hear everybody laughing in the background.
Where's the ooh? Ooh,
I know. I was waiting for that part. I'm going to crank that back
you
up.
You guys sing it.
Carl, go.
Everybody else, but the people in the crowd started doing that.
Oh, I bet they loved it.
No, but you could hear people giggling and laughing because
they knew
they thought I was not serious.
Well, I was going to say, of all the songs for you to pick, I would never peg you as someone who would pick a Taylor Swift song.
I know.
Which is why it was probably perfect.
That's right.
That's awesome.
So that got it started, so people were in a good mood. And then I told the story of Carl and Country Roads.
Country roads, so you sang take me home. Country roads.
And that's clip number two.
Place. I'm having a hard time staying quiet. Like, I want to sing along, and I know I'm probably
ruining
the
song. It was so much fun. I've never had a whole bar singing along to a song that I'm singing and playing, so it was really fun. And
The power.
Imagine how these artists feel when it's an original song they wrote and they go to a sold-out venue and everybody knows the lyrics to their own song.
Right.
It was probably a taste of that where obviously it's a well-known song, but it's still fun when you're singing and everyone's singing along.
Yeah, and so Carl, do you want to tell that story?
So the Blues were, it was 2019, the Blues were not good. And then they were in the middle of a winning streak and we were trying to get as many people to come to the games as possible. And this was January of 2019, which people might remember was when we won the Stanley Cup. But
I covered that for KMOV.
If you remember, in January, they were the worst team in the league. And then we went on this big winning streak. And to get people, we were playing Nashville. It was going to be country music night. And so we were playing nothing but country
music. Your nightmare. That I asked Carl what music he likes. He says, I like every single thing except country. All right.
I like pop music, so.
And, all right, sorry, continue.
Country pop is fine. And so during one of the TV timeouts, I had the choice of either playing Thank God I'm a Country Boy or Country Roads. And I mistakenly chose Country Roads.
No, why would that be a mistake?
Because we're not in West Virginia.
Who cares? Yeah. It's a good song.
And it's a hockey game.
But everyone knows the lyrics.
True. But I think Thank God I'm a Country Boy would have actually, in hindsight, would have worked better and it would have been clapping and everybody, and it would have worked just the same. But instead, I played Country Roads and the entire crowd sang and my boss called me up and said, play that again.
And again.
Which we normally don't.
And then on the 15th time, everyone got sick of it.
Normally I don't play a song twice in a game,
except Gloria, probably.
No, we only played that at the end of the game.
Gloria. Remember how often that would be playing on the radio?
Yes.
I mean, it was nonstop. But it never really got old.
When people said, play Gloria, they were talking to me because I was the one playing Gloria.
You feel good about that?
Yes.
You feel powerful that you have the ability to be the one to hit the buzzer?
It is more stressful than you can imagine.
Oh, I bet.
But then we started playing Country Roads every game, and I know the season is starting on the 15th of October, and people ask, are we going to play it again? TBD.
I thought that
TBD.
Song was retired.
TBD.
There might be a revolt.
We retired it last year with a hilarious Louis skit where Louis smashed James Bertle's guitar and said no more, and then... We'll see what happens.
I didn't know this part of the story, but when I told this story at the venue, everybody loved it because they didn't know the origin of Country Roads being played every game at the Blues. And the reason I wanted to do this morning was so I could hear Carl tell that story.
So wait, you do play it every single Blues game?
We used to play it in the third period, and then last year we played it in the second period. People thought that we were playing it in the third period because people were getting ready to leave. No, it was because we wanted to have people sing in the third period. And then last year, we wanted people to sing in the second period. And people were mad that we moved it from the third to the second.
Why do people care that much?
Hockey is the most superstitious sport of all of them.
Really? Why is that?
Canadian farm boys skating.
Do you agree with that?
I would probably say that's true. I mean, baseball's got a lot of superstitions, too.
But hockey is... They
right
play
up there.
Half as many, yeah.
Yeah.
When what year was it for the World? I think it was we were in the World Series for baseball, and we had that rally squirrel, and it was like I needed
11.
To see. Okay,
was 11,
it was 11
or...
and 11. I thought it was the one before. Whatever. I think it was.
06?
Yeah, I think it was earlier because I remember my parents buying me a rally squirrel T-shirt. And it was like every game I needed to see either. And I'm not one of those people where it's like, oh, this has to happen. But it was like I needed to see the rally squirrel. run across that field. You remember that?
No, I wasn't here, but I vaguely do remember seeing it on TV somewhere.
I hate squirrels. Well, let me say this. I strongly, strongly dislike squirrels. They're rats with like a cuter outfit on.
It was 2011.
Oh, it was 11. Okay.
Squirrels eat up our backyard furniture, all our nice new patio furniture we got. Chew right through that. And you'll hear like a... when we're sitting in our house, and then I kind
that
of
means
I bang
getting into your house.
Carl Middleman, I know. I bang on the window, and that stupid little squirrel just takes off running. I mean, we've got had our little BB gun like ready to go. Problem is, we've got the backyard with all the houses behind us, so we've got to be careful. Clearly, but I'm just going to set up traps all over our backyard. Those things wreak havoc. They're not cute. I used to think they were cute. They're a nightmare. And we had a duplex in the city. They were chewing through everything in the city. I actually have a really bad story about a squirrel that fell off the roof and we accidentally killed it. And it was, I don't even know if I should say it on the air. Makes us look pretty bad.
Then save it.
I'll leave it at that.
What I enjoy about this segment is I just give a little prompt, have a little sound there, and it ends up, we started with playing an open mic, and we ended up with squirrels eating patio furniture.
That's usually how things go.
Do you want to plug the bar at Watson and Chippewa?
It's Gravois.
Gravois.
It's the drawing board.
Watson.
I believe they do one every Sunday, but this group that I'm friends with, it's the first Sunday of every month. It's a cool little bar. They got good food, too.
Nice.
And there's a cat that lives there.
Is there?
A rally cat?
No, this cat just... I love it when the cat just sits on the pool table while people are playing, because it's the cat's place.
I don't love cats.
The cat lives there.
The cat... I didn't see the cat. We did play pool, but we didn't see the cat.
See, usually the conversations when Mark's here, they morph into whatever food. Like, we could be talking about... I don't even know. You name a topic, and somehow we connect the dots, and we start talking about how we're hungry and we'd like food. I don't know what it is, but that is usually the way the conversation goes. So at least we talked about something different than food. We went to squirrels and how terrible they are. If you catch a squirrel, by the way, and you release it even remotely close to where you found it, they will find their way back. You have to drive it very far away to release it.
Montana.
So that little sucker doesn't come crawling back to your house and wreak havoc again. Just a little tip right there. Or maybe it would just die on its own, and that might be the better option. I'm just saying. I'm not about animal cruelty. No, we've never shot one. I'm not about animal cruelty, but those squirrels are terrible, and if I could shoot one, I would. I'll just say that. I am not a fan.
My dad has shot a few.
And make sure that it's legal in your community.
It's fine. They would appreciate us getting those little suckers out of there, because they probably are doing the same at their house with their nice new patio furniture. I am not a fan. All right. That was Scott on the Spot. I wanted to talk about the report that came out, a 350-page report from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Technically, it's going to be released to the public today, and the Democrats have their own report on this botched Afghanistan withdrawal. But this is a scathing report, because obviously the outlets or the news outlets, the mainstream media is already reporting on this because they got their hands on it a little bit early. So we're going to talk about that, some of the recommendations that they have moving forward, and we will be right back. I'm Kim St. Ange for Mark Cox.
How does Kamala Harris defend what we all saw?
First of all, of course, I haven't seen what's in the report coming out tomorrow, but I do have a question about what they're doing over there. If they've had 3 years to assess what happened, why are they delivering a report after Labor Day in a presidential election year? I think it really feeds in to a sense that this is something they're using as a political football. This administration made the decision not to allow this war to be inherited by a fifth president, and to end that conflict. And this is on my mind a lot in September, not just because of the anniversary of the withdrawal, but because it was September 10 years ago that I left Afghanistan.
That was Pete Buttigieg talking with Dana Bash on CNN about this report that the House Foreign Affairs Committee has released, a 350-page report, a scathing report about that botched Afghanistan withdrawal. This is no doubt going to be a topic that will come up at tomorrow's debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. By the way, we have that watch party going on. We're excited to see those of you who are able to go. Unfortunately, that filled up, Carl, a matter of
days.
Days. We have a capacity limit.
We told you.
Says the fire department. Yes, we did. We warned you. It would fill up fast. That's exactly what happened. So unfortunately, the watch party at Dave & Buster's, That is full. Again, looking forward to seeing those of you who can make it. But what you can do is we're taking this show live Wednesday morning, so 5 to 9 at Chickenelli's in Eureka. You can come get some delicious food. We're going to be talking about the debate. I mean, there's going to be a lot to unpack.
And also, if you did not make it to our watch party, you can listen to the debate live on 97.1.
That's true. We're airing it. And by the way, if you have a question that you want or you think should be asked the debate, go to the Odyssey app. There's that little microphone next to where it says listen live. Leave us a message this morning, an audio message. You can talk up for up to 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think.
Remember, there's a 3-second countdown. So don't start talking as soon as you hit the button because you'll miss the first 3 seconds.
That's true. OK, back to this thing I mentioned about this report that came out. So this is the House Foreign Affairs Committee. The Democrats are going to release their own version. This is a 3-year investigation, and they're basically accusing the Biden-Harris administration of intentionally lying, misleading the people, and that they cared more about the optics of it, that Joe Biden wanted to have this legacy of being the one who was able to get the troops out of Afghanistan, even though so many officials told him, do not do this.
Yeah, he tried to do it way too fast, is what they're saying. Hasty was the word they used, which sloppy might be another one. And that leads to consequences. In this case, 13 people died.
Right. And including Mark Schmitz, whose son Jared was killed.
By the way, they had a motor? I couldn't think of the word.
It was a ride.
That's it.
Fundraiser.
Over the weekend. Yeah. So that was the first memorial ride, and it got a big turnout, so that was good.
Well, I mean, yeah. They had the perfect weather for it. Rightfully so, they're tying Kamala Harris to this, because remember, she bragged about being the last one in the room when this decision was made, and she said she was comfortable with the steps they were planning to take. And the Biden-Harris administration has repeatedly tried to blame Trump. They really haven't said much about this, because it's very obvious they botched it, and that led to the death of the 13 service members. But they've tried to blame Trump because they said, well, our hands were tied, you know, because of the Doha agreement, you know, with the Taliban, we had to get out by, I think it was May of 2021. And that just wasn't it. The Taliban, that thing was basically null and void. That was not really the case. And the report even points this out. They're calling on Congress now in this report to put in place standard operating procedures. So when there is something like this that comes up, they need to have a specific step-by-step plan on what action is taken. We had millions of dollars in weapons that were left behind. Of course, the service members killed. Although, remember at the Biden-Trump debate, Biden said, I never had any military killed under my watch.
Yes.
I mean, that was one of the comments he said that I'm like, oh, excuse me, what? Obviously, he just forgot. I don't know how you forget that. I'm sure he would like to forget that that was under his watch. Speaking of Biden, here's a fun fact for you. Saw a report. Biden has spent 40.3% of his presidency on vacation. OK, if we work 52 weeks per year, OK, that means that we would get 20 to 21 weeks of vacation. How does that sound?
I want that gig.
I want that gig. Wouldn't that be nice? We get, what, 3 weeks on average people get? Okay, that's 5.7%. I did some math, guys, and math is hard, so you should be impressed. How about you just do it Joe Biden style and take off 20 to 21 weeks? You go up to your boss today, you say, ma'am, sir, the president gets 40% of his time on vacation. I would like the same thing. Seems fair.
See how that goes.
Seems fair to me, and I'm going to spend it on the beach. There you go. We're back. I'm Kim St. Ange from Mark Cox.
Get more at 971talk.com.
How does Kamala Harris defend what we all saw?
First of all, of course, I haven't seen what's in the report coming out tomorrow, but I do have a question about what they're doing over there. If they've had 3 years to assess what happened, why are they delivering a report after Labor Day in a presidential election year? I think it really feeds into a sense that this is something they're using as a political football. This administration made the decision not to allow this war to be inherited by a fifth president and to end that conflict. And This is on my mind a lot in September, not just because of the anniversary of the withdrawal, but because it was September 10 years ago that I left Afghanistan.
That was Pete Buttigieg talking with Dana Bash on CNN about this report that the House Foreign Affairs Committee has released, a 350-page report, a scathing report about that botched Afghanistan withdrawal. This is no doubt going to be a topic that will come up at tomorrow's debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. By the way, we have that watch party going on. We're excited to see those of you who are able to go. Unfortunately, I mean, that filled up, Carl, what? A matter of
days.
Days. We have a capacity limit,
we told
says
you.
The fire department. Yes, we did. We warned you. It would fill up fast. That's exactly what happened. So unfortunately, the watch party at Dave & Buster's, that is full. Again, looking forward to seeing those of you who can make it. But what you can do is we're taking this show live Wednesday morning, so 5 to 9 at Chickenelli's in Eureka. You can come get some delicious food. Mm. We're going to be talking about the debate. I mean, there's going to be a lot to unpack.
And also, if you did not make it to our watch party, you can listen to the debate live on 97.1.
That's true. We're airing it. And by the way, if you have a question that you want or you think should be asked the debate, go to the Odyssey app. There's that little microphone next to where it says listen live. Leave us a message this morning, an audio message. You can talk up to 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think.
Remember, there's a 3-second countdown. So don't start talking as soon as you hit the button because you'll miss the first 3 seconds.
That's true. OK, back to this thing I mentioned about this report that came out. So this is the House Foreign Affairs Committee. The Democrats are going to release their own version. This is a 3-year investigation, and they're basically accusing the Biden-Harris administration of intentionally lying, misleading the people, and that they cared more about the optics of it, that Joe Biden wanted to have this legacy of being the one who was able to get the troops out of Afghanistan, even though so many officials told him, do not do this.
Yeah, he tried to do it way too fast, is what they're saying. Hasty was the word they used, which sloppy might be another one. And that leads to consequences. In this case, 13 people died.
Right. And including Mark Schmitz, whose son Jared was killed.
By the way, they had a ride. That's it.
Fundraiser.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
So that was the first memorial ride, and it got a big turnout, so that was good.
Well, I mean, yeah. They had the perfect weather for it. Rightfully so, they're tying Kamala Harris to this, because remember, she bragged about being the last one in the room when this decision was made, and she said she was comfortable with the steps they were planning to take. And the Biden-Harris administration has repeatedly tried to blame Trump. They really haven't said much about this, because it's very obvious they botched it, and that led to the death of the 13 service members. But they've tried to blame Trump because they said, well, our hands were tied, you know, because of the Doha agreement, you know, with the Taliban, we had to get out by, I think it was May of 2021. And that just wasn't it. The Taliban, that thing was basically null and void. That was not really the case. And the report even points this out. They're calling on Congress now in this report to put in place standard operating procedures. So when there is something like this that comes up, they need to have a specific step-by-step plan on what action is taken. We had millions of dollars in weapons that were left behind. Of course, the service members killed. Although, remember at the Biden-Trump debate, Biden said, I never had any military killed under my watch.
Yes.
I mean, that was one of the comments he said that I'm like, oh, excuse me, what? Obviously, he just forgot. I don't know how you forget that. I'm sure he would like to forget that that was under his watch. Speaking of Biden, here's a fun fact for you. Saw a report. Biden has spent 40.3% of his presidency on vacation. OK, if we work 52 weeks per year, OK, that means that we would get 20 to 21 weeks of vacation. How does that sound?
I want that gig.
I want that gig. Wouldn't that be nice? We get, what, 3 weeks on average people get? Okay, that's 5.7%. I did some math, guys, and math is hard, so you should be impressed. How about you just do it Joe Biden style and take off 20 to 21 weeks? You go up to your boss today, you say, ma'am, sir, the president gets 40% of his time on vacation. I would like the same thing. Seems fair.
See how that goes.
Seems fair to me, and I'm going to spend it on the beach. There you go. We're back. I'm Kim St. Ange for Mark Cox.
Get more at 971talk.com.